Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Paranormal Horizon.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Shlaka, Jason Ophir, Belama Sromakani, Hola Shaventa, Paranormal Horizons. I love me a Sromaka Lulu, Bosravindo. Okay, I know everybody. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It was kind of, if you were in chat, it was kind of a dare. So I'm opening the show with a little bit of humor. Welcome to another edition of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Our co-host, Pat Rice. Is not going to be able to make the show this evening. She's got a family emergency that she had to attend to. So it's all me, and I also received word that our scheduled guest is going to be unable to make it as well. So I'm really hoping, I'm reaching out there in the internet radio world for somebody to call in and please save me, or else I'm just going to have to babble. And so if anybody would like to call in, the call number is 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. So I'm going to open the show as kind of like what we usually do, is with a little bit of news. And I always have a knack for finding the strangest news stories out there. And this one is no exception. This one comes from the Large Hadron Collider. I'm not too familiar with what the collider is. I know it's a very expensive multi-billion-dollar piece of equipment, and they like bombard atoms or something like that. It basically helps scientists figure out how the universe works. I know nothing about it. But the story comes out from there, and the story is that there is a man who was arrested on the property, and he was claiming that he had arrived from the future. Yes, that's right. He arrived from the future, and he went there to let the people know that he was there, to let them know that the collider was going to destroy the planet. And what's also interesting about the story is that he was spotted rummaging through some bins, and he claimed he was looking for fuel for his time machine. And this is what's funny. He was holding his time machine's power unit as he was rummaging through the bins, and it was funny because the power unit resembled a blender. Would you like some margarita with that? That's what I say. So, yeah, some weird guy that was dressed funny was apparently from the future. But who knows? It's a very strange universe we live in. Maybe he was from the future. Because I remember that when that collider started up, there was a lot of concern that if they like powered it up, that it was going to destroy the world. And I think that one of the things that they were able to do there is create like these microscopic black holes. So I don't know, and I think they were successful at that. So let's send them the message that maybe they need to improve their level of security at the Hadron Collider. So the next story I ran across is not paranormal. I'm going to have to pull it up here on my computer. Basically, what it is, and it's kind of alarming, and it can kind of stem into the conspiracy theory genre. Apparently, and I wasn't aware of this, that the Internal Revenue Service is trolling people's social media accounts to get information to look for tax evaders. Now, how scary is that? That just another arm of the government is out there, you know, trolling people's accounts. Now, I don't know. It sounded like they have some sort of, you know, program, kind of a bot that just sifts through tons and tons of data. So everybody should be aware of what they're posting on the Internet. And a little story along those lines is that many people that listen to the show may not be aware of my history, but actually my actual trade job is an investigator. And for a time there, I was a workman's compensation investigator, which basically consisted of sitting out in my car, you know, watching people. You know, the typical scenario when somebody says that they can't do something and then you videotape them playing golf, that sort of thing. So I did that for a long time. But how that sort of ties into this whole Internet thing with sharing information is oftentimes when I received the case file of the person that I was going to watch, I wouldn't know what they look like. And one of the tactics was to try to get a picture online, and usually that was by checking out Facebook. So there were several times where, you know, I wasn't sure who I was looking for. Somebody would leave the house, and I'd be like, that could be him. It's around the same age. But oftentimes I was able to confirm that by checking out Facebook. So it's all very interesting, this whole police state that we're in with, you know, that whole thing with Edward Snowden and all these secret NSA projects spying on us all the time, and it looks like the IRS is no exception to that. You know, it's kind of scary to me. And yeah, it's not really paranormal, but I wanted to throw it out there that everybody should be aware of what they post on, particularly Facebook. You know, you're hearing stories all the time of people that, you know, granted, not very intelligent people are posting, you know, evidence of crimes and stuff like that, but you never know, you know. It just, the way technology has advanced, it's really created an atmosphere for the government and just generally creepy stalkers out there to find information. And I'll be the first to admit that if your friend on my Facebook, the majority of my information is fictitious because I don't want people to know anything about me. And if you know me on Facebook, you also notice that my profile pictures is never me. It's always some ridiculous picture. I try to get a laugh out of people. So moving on to the paranormal, again, if anybody would like to call in, we can talk about the paranormal. The number is 215-383-3999. So we don't have anybody calling in yet, but I did want to thank Darlene for doing some banner work for the show. She's gracious enough to create a banner for us, and that's one of the things that Paranormal Horizons has been lacking in. We just don't have banners, and I can't figure it out. Well, I mean, I could probably figure it out, but I don't have the time. My specialty is audio, so I don't have time to do that, but we want to thank Darlene for doing that for us, and that's much appreciated. We'll definitely utilize whatever banners we get made for the show. Yeah, it'll make us look a little bit more legitimate. So getting on to the paranormal, I guess I'm going to have to wing it since I have nobody to bounce any ideas off of. There's a lot going on in the paranormal world. And one of the things that, you know, I've briefly touched on in the past is the level of parafakery. And I think, I don't know if that term's being used, but I'm kind of coining that phrase. And it looks like we do have a caller in queue, and I will bring them in just a moment, but I just wanted to touch on this for a second. is being, I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm actually a real investigator, but I'm a paranormal investigator as well. And, you know, I've done several or many ghost investigations, and my specialty is in UFOlogy, but I do know a fair bit about ghosts and spirits and stuff like that. Part of the reason I know so much is I've pretty much talked to anyone and everyone in the paranormal community, not only on this show, but on another show. So I learn a lot from talking from my guests. But one of the trends that I am finding to be a little bit disturbing is just the fakery out there. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, all the stuff on Facebook and everywhere else, people are utilizing various CG programs and Photoshop, and it's really doing a disservice to legitimate investigation because it dilutes it, and, you know, it's hard to know what's real and what's not because the technology is so good that, you know, people can create anything. I mean, I saw a video of a dragon over London, and obviously that's ridiculous, but it looks real, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish what's real and what's not. So I'm kind of hoping from an investigation standpoint that people will stop doing that. I know it won't, because I know a lot of people get entertained from it, and they get a lot of views on YouTube when they create these videos, but it really is doing a disservice to everybody in the paranormal. It's very hard to figure out what's what, and I'm a little disheartened by it. And I have to say, because it is so prevalent in the social media area, it's kind of turned me more into a skeptic than I ever was. I mean, I've really, really become skeptical about everything paranormal. And one of the other things I notice is I see a lot of people that blindly follow these fake posts. I mean, there are some posts out there that are clearly fake, and people follow it blindly. I also find that disturbing. So I hope for anybody listening that kind of propagates that by creating all this fake nonsense, please, please stop. It's doing a major disservice to the paranormal community. And with that, that is my message of the show. So we do have a call in queue, and I might bring them on. And hopefully we can get some good conversation going on for the rest of the show. Hello, caller. You are live on Paranormal Horizons.
Hi, Jason. It's Darlene.
Oh, you're saving me. Yay!
Well, I figured I better call in. I had some questions anyway, so.
Sure. I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for those the banner. That was great.
Oh, no problem. Anything to support you?
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Yeah, it's a rough show. My mic's broken, so I have to do this old school on the phone, which sounds terrible, and everybody's canceling, and so I'm going to wing it. We're going to make it a winner. I hope you stick with me.
Or you're doing good now, so.
Okay, thank you. So what are your questions?
Well, I've been looking in a lot into the aliens and UFOs, and there's so much information out there, and, you know, I guess it looks like there's a lot of misinformation. So I'm just wondering, since you've been looking into this and you kind of have some knowledge already, what are some more reputable places that you kind of look into yourself for that kind of information, or do you just look all over?
In terms of, like, maybe a website that provides, you know, a little bit more accurate information.
Right.
There are some websites that tend to be, you know, you would look at them and they wouldn't be, I wouldn't consider their stories to be very accurate. I mean, they're probably accurate as they're being reported to the website. But, you know, sites like Before It Was News has a lot of stuff on it that I find questionable.
Okay.
But I can't really attest to its accuracy. In terms of a site that's sending out good information, I haven't really found one other than traditional news sources, like your local television stations when they report stuff. It's just really difficult to find a site that's really dedicated to the facts. You know, MUFON, I almost couldn't even get that out of my mouth, you know, the Mutual UFO Network, probably have some stuff. I haven't checked in a while. Their stuff would probably be more accurate than what you might find on some of these alternative media sites out there.
Okay. Yeah, I just had that question because there's just so much out there and, you know, so many conflicting stories. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I agree. There's so much going on. It's just crazy.
Well, even stories about Area 51 and from people that work there, you know, even those stories are conflicting. So I was just wondering.
Yeah. Area 51, you know, I almost wonder, you know, maybe there was something going on there in the past. That the facility at Groom Lake, Nevada is Area 51, and since its inception, it's been a legitimate testing facility for, you know, real aircraft. That's where they did a lot of work with the U-2 spy plane and the SR-71 Blackbird. And that story really broke back, I want to say it was in the early 90s, a man named Bob Lazar. He claimed to have been working on the propulsion system of a UFO. And he's the one that kind of started that. And what was kind of interesting about his story is it seemed to be somewhat credible. He was making all these claims, and people started researching into him. And they couldn't really substantiate that he had ever worked for the government. But it was interesting because he was able to produce a copy of his check or something like that, and it showed that he had been employed by Naval Intelligence. And then there was also, his name was listed in the Los Alamos Laboratory as working at Los Alamos. But what's interesting about that is that it seemed like, the government, whatever, had wiped out his history, you know, but he was able to produce a couple documents saying, you know, I'm a real scientist and, you know, so it's pretty trippy. But I think that's pretty much when the Area 51 broke. And, and the government, you know, is always doing shady stuff. You used to be able to get a clearer picture of the base, but then they did a land grab and took some farmers' mountains, the ones that were closest to the base, to where you used to be able to go up there and get a good shot of the base. And all the close pictures you see from the ground from the base or from these peaks, but the government seized all that land, thousands of acres. And now the only place to get advantage of Area 51 is a place called another mountain peak, but it's much farther away. It's called Tikaboo Peak, and apparently I've never been there. But you can get up there and see the base way off in the distance. But I would be surprised if there's any real UFO activity going out there. I'm sure that they would have moved any of that alien technology somewhere else, if alien technology exists. I don't know, but they're always working on stuff far more sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah. You must be doing something secretive there, the way it's all locked up. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the security there is crazy. You know, you have to go down this super miles of this dirt road, and it's specifically a dusty road, so they can see coming for miles. And some time ago, a gentleman found government-owned motion sensors in the ground, and I mean miles away from the base before you even get to the gate. And now they've got all sorts of technology that we are aware of, and I'm sure they have security technology that we don't even know about. I mean, they know you're coming before you pull off the highway, basically. But according to Bob Lazar, I don't want to quote him or anything, but he was saying that the alien craft at Area 51 aren't actually at Area 51, that they are in one of the adjacent ranges right there, and I believe, if I recall correctly, it's an area called S4. And these alien craft, he said that they had five or six or something of these craft, and they were in these bunkers in the side of this mountain. And the side of the mountain was camouflaged, so, you know, if you're looking at satellite photo, you wouldn't be able to tell that there was an entrance into the side of the mountain.
It can make you wonder if he's saying that, you know. I know there's been several, have you heard of Dr. Greer at all?
I have. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I have heard of him before.
Yeah, in 2001, they did a, they went to Congress and they had a lot of the people that were in the armed forces and whatever swore to Congress about their experience and what they witnessed as far as UFOs and spaceships, and he was the one that kind of spearheaded that. So I was just wondering what you thought of him, if you, you even looked at that or not. Or
I know I've heard of him in the past, but I didn't remember anything specific having to do with him. There's definitely been some pioneers that have kind of stepped forward to get answers. But unfortunately, I really don't think that we're ever going to get to a place where, you know, we're going to get the real answers, whether they do or do not exist. Personally, I believe they exist. I've had my own experiences. I know what I've seen. I know what I've experienced, and I believe they're there. But in terms of it going mainstream with the facts, I highly doubt it. You know, you get all these alien autopsy videos coming out, and it's impossible to know what's really happening. And I'm sure that the government loves that. You know, the government is very good at disinformation. They probably love the fact that all this fake stuff is out. And they're probably behind some of the fake stuff, too. You know?
I'm sure. I'm sure that's probably true. So you'll never know what the truth is.
It's too bad. It would be really rewarding. I mean, I guess the downside is if the government said, you know, yeah, aliens exist, they're on this planet. Yeah, I suppose people would panic, and I, you know, it would really probably challenge religion and everything we are taught to believe. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I'm sure there's a reason they're doing that. I'm not sure if it's a valid reason to keep it hidden.
Yeah, I would assume, I don't know, but I would assume it would just shatter too much of what we're taught, and people would freak out, and we have all those movies of alien invasions. And well, it's like that, wasn't it, Orson Welles back in the Depression era or whatever, he did that radio show, War of the Worlds.
Right.
The radio show, you know,
right,
way back in the day, and some people missed
the
disclaimer.
Can. Yep.
I guess people were jumping off buildings. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
So,
I had no idea it was that bad.
Oh, it was bad. People killed themselves over it, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a ton of people, but I do recall that a few people just couldn't take it and killed themselves, and it was a big stink over that. But, you know, maybe that's what they're afraid of. But, you know, it's hard to know. Like I was talking about, the paranormal fakery out there with all these technologies and Photoshops and all that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. And videos, and I know. I've seen it.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I have no idea what to believe and what not to believe. And
oh, yeah.
And then the other
any
side.
Photo you look at, you kind of have to go, I don't know. I know what people can do. I don't know. No, just
well, I'm looking at, you know, I've watched these threads because I'm members on a bunch of these groups, and I don't comment much. I just kind of watch and see what pops out there. And, you know, I see somebody post a picture, and they're like, do you see anything with this? Or do you see this face over here? And I'm squinting. I'm blowing it up. I don't see anything, but all these people are like, oh, yeah, it's the face of a little boy or a demon. I'm like, really? I don't see anything. Like, you know, they have that psychological thing, whatever, called pareidolia, where, you know, you can
right.
Find a picture of Jesus on a piece of toast, and I'm just like, it just amazes me that people just see stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I guess you know, I come from kind of an Indian background. My stepmother was Indian. And, you know, it was always a belief that a spirit needs to tell you something. They just come out and, you know, you're going to see something, hear something. They're never going to be so sneaky as to wait until you take a picture and maybe you'll see it. But that's just me.
So what's your experience with, you know, paranormal? Do you have any stories or anything?
Well, you know, when I was young, my my stepmother, we were in the cemetery, and she was just talking away, and I looked at her, and I said, "Who are you talking to?" And she said, "Duh," just like I was really stupid, and, you know, Indians use humility a lot in teaching, and I, "Well, who?" And she said, "Well, what do you see here?" And I said, "Gravestones." I was just totally dumbfounded, and I was about 12 at the time. And she said, "The spirits, what do you think people come here for?" So, you know, and that was my first experience of kind of really learning, you know, a different way of thinking. So, and she, you know, they just kind of accept that. That's just part of life, you know, that there's spirits. And I don't, she never said that she could hear them. I don't know if she was just talking at them, but, you know, that's.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm adopted, so I don't know, you know, exactly what my lineage is, but I was born in New Mexico, and there was talk that, you know, I had Native American blood in me, whatever. But one interesting thing that I experienced when I was in my later teens and even today was I am really drawn to be able to find Indian artifacts. It's, you know, I can, it's so strange and so compelling that I could basically look at a vast expanse of land and I can literally just know exactly where artifacts, you know, would be laying on the surface, obviously, just, you know, not talking about desecrating anything.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, like when I was a kid.
It doesn't surprise me from my point of view at all, because, you know, that. The ancestors, and ancestors are not always your relatives. They're the people of the land that lived before you. They're sometimes related, not always. So the ancestors kind of whisper to you and point you that way. And if you're just that kind of person that's in tune, and you learn to listen, it's not really being psychic, you'll hear it. You'll be drawn to that. And it could be that it's part of your past and within your blood, so to speak, you know, kind of within your being to be able to hear that. That's kind of a... I don't know if that even makes sense to you. Sometimes
no,
it's hard for me to interpret that to people.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. I've always wondered about it, you know. It's just, I could be out in the middle of nowhere and, you know, I could just be drawn to a particular place and just walking
right.
around looking at the ground. And, you know, there's nothing anywhere except I walk to this one place and, you know, bam, you know, whatever, there's an arrowhead sitting on the surface.
And you're like, how did I know? How was I drawn to it? Yeah.
Exactly. And when I was a little kid is when I noticed it. I would, you know, I could, it doesn't even have to be on the surface. I could just, something is drawing me to a particular, very specific point on the ground. You know, when I was younger, I, you know, just dig my hands in the dirt and something was right there. You know, it's just, it's weird, but I was kind of wondering about the ancestry thing because if I was born in New Mexico, you know, you'd probably be talking about Navajo. But this was going on in Northern California, so it would be a totally separate tribe. So I was wondering how that would tie in.
Well, you know, your ancestors can stay with you, too, you know, your family connections and stuff, too. So it's hard to say, you know. I felt drawn, you know, and I have Indian back in my background, in my father, but it's not the same Indian that my stepmother is, but I'm still drawn to these areas here. So I don't know what it is, what connection that is, but.
It's weird. Maybe have some ability, and I don't really consider myself to be psychic at all.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because my uncle, he used to say that people turn it off because it's not okay when you say, "Well, I felt this or I thought that," and they just kind of laugh at you, like, "What do you think you're psychic?" You know, and so people kind of push back those feelings and they don't trust them. And he used to take me out in the woods and teach me how to listen and how to pay attention to those senses that you have. You know, one time he took me out and he said, "Listen, And I said, I didn't hear anything. And he said, you don't hear that? And I said, I don't hear anything. That's right. And if the other animals don't hear anything, they're not moving, and there's a reason. You know, and it's paying attention to those. You know, and that's not being psychic. It's just that inner sense. When you can hear when there's a no noise, or we can hear some little animal being upset, or, you know, and that's where it starts, just learning to pay attention to those little small sounds and things around you and being quiet. You know, and then you get drawn to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting to me. And I am one of those people that turn it off. Seriously, I'm afraid to turn anything on. Because if I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and see dead people crawling on my ceiling, no way, not going to happen.
You know, I've never done that. I have seen black shadows, but I've never actually seen dead people at my foot of my bed or anything like that. Usually when something happens, it's so out of the blue, it just kind of catches me by surprise. I'm no longer afraid of it or anything, but I've never seen, like, dead people, you know, waking up to them or anything like that, ever. So I don't know if it really opens that up or not, but...
That would be terrifying. So we were talking about UFOs earlier, and I got to ask, have you ever seen a UFO?
I have seen, when I lived in Millbury, Massachusetts, there were these, they looked like silver balloons. Now, you would have thought they were probably weather balloons, except for there were five of them. They were all spaced evenly apart, and they were floating through the sky without altering. You know, not like the wind was bumping them around or anything. So I always wondered, I mean, obviously a UFO, but was it, you know, extraterrestrial or own? I don't really know, but... I looked it up to see if, you know, they ever sent out five balloons together. But it didn't look, they looked like silvery, shiny objects, though, round.
Oh.
So, and my husband's mother, she swore to me about seeing a UFO before, a spaceship, actually, that... And she described it so well because I was doing Halloween stuff and I wanted to make a spaceship, and she told me how to make it right. So, you know, it was the same place, so.
So she actually saw, like, a full-blown
UFO. Yeah, and she used to follow anything about UFOs on TV and stuff because of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen, like, a craft. You know, come down, you know, the extent of my actual sightings of unusual things in the sky are, you know, strange lights, big balls of white light slowly hovering or descending behind tree lines and stuff. But my story, I don't know if I don't really have time to go into it, and I've talked about it before, but, you know, I've had a lot of pretty terrifying experiences having to deal with, you know, UFOs and stuff, and even to the point of having evidence left behind, you know, it's not, not my imagination, and I don't know if I should go into that one particular story, but one metallic object was left behind, and there was all this typical kind of government stuff where I was being followed, people were taking my picture, and it basically ended up as this object generated some interest by some pretty well-known people, and they sent it to a lab in Texas, and it was tested, and the scientists in Texas couldn't identify it. They didn't know what it was.
Wow.
So I've had stuff like that. And
it's very much along the lines of other people that have come forward, too, you know, with the Men in Black type of, you know, following. And, you know, you... can't remember his name, the guy in the, I think he's in Colorado. I can't remember what the heck his name is, but he had a video out there of a little alien. There. Sounds very similar to his story, too.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yes, he was the guy, he was seeing an alien looking in his window. That guy?
Right.
Yeah, and so he set up a camera, and you see this... alien head pop up and then like runs off to the side, and that actually generated quite a bit of buzz, but I don't know how authentic it was or not, but it looked pretty convincing.
Yeah, you never really know. I mean, just because you can debunk it and do it yourself doesn't mean it's you've actually proven that it's fake. You know, sometimes you just can't prove.
Yeah, there's no way to prove. There's a lot of things that I watch. There are some things I watch where I'm like, yeah, that's definitely fake. And then there are the ones where I'm just, you just don't know.
Yeah, right.
See a lot of those, but I do also want to throw it out again. If anybody else would like to call in, have another 20 or so minutes, come join our conversation. We can talk about anything in the paranormal. The number is 215-383-3999, 215-383-3999. And Darlene's rescued me for the last 20 minutes because I am rolling solo. Pat Rice is not here. My scheduled guest is not here. My microphone is broken. It's working out well this evening, but you saved me. You're like my rescuer.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm asking if anybody has any questions. In the chat room here, so.
Anybody in chat have questions? I've got so many windows up on my computer, it's hard to follow everything. But I am looking at chat right now. If anybody in chat has any questions, throw it out. So I'll wait for a question. But, the UFO thing, is my kind of forte, and I really wish we had some answers. And there have been a lot of, I don't know if I'd say that there have been an increase in UFO activity, but it seems like I'm seeing a lot more stories coming out. I mean, almost daily.
Yeah.
From all over the world.
A lot of curious videos, too, where the lights are dancing in the clouds. You see those with the lights are going in and out. And you can see that in some of the videos, a lot of people are watching while they're videotaping. So in order to fake that to that degree, it really takes a lot of setup,
Yeah, I think when you definitely have more than one person out there observing it and reacting to it, it probably adds a little bit of validity to it, or either that or somebody really went out of their way to fake something. Spent a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Question, what is the strangest experience you've ever had, Jason? Strangest experience I've ever had. Oh, wow, I really have to rack my brain. I've had so many. I've had everything from weird ghost things to aliens, but I think the most... If you were to ask me what is the most terrifying experience I've ever had, I could tell you, but that's probably the strangest, so I'll go with that one. That's close enough. I had been dealing with a lot of UFO strangeness for a long time. It started in about the late, the early to mid-90s. It really started probably about 1993 when I was in Northern California. I started to have sightings. But a lot of strange things were happening. But there are a couple of events, one of which was the object that was tested in the lab. And I've posted the picture before. One of the most terrifying and strange experiences was, of all places, in a hotel in Seattle. This was many years after anything UFO-related had happened. It was, I don't think anything strange had happened for probably a decade before that, but I was in a hotel, and I was watching the movie 7 Years in Tibet, and I'm laying there in bed. And I start to get this strange sensation come over me. Now, mind you, I'm not trying to sleep, so it's not a matter of any kind of weird brain activity, hypnagogia or anything like that. I'm just watching a movie. So as I'm watching the movie, the lights are off, and I start to get this strange body sensation, and I can only describe it as kind of a tumbling sensation. But what was weird about it is as soon as I felt the sensation, I knew what was going to happen. And I don't know if I can even make that make sense. But as soon as I felt it, it was like instantly I was aware that there was going to be an alien event going on. And I freaked out, because the way I can try and describe it is this same sensation had happened many times before, but was somehow blocked out of my memory. So you don't really realize it until you feel it, and then all that cellular memory comes back, and you're like, oh, crap, this you know, things are going to get sporty. So I had that sensation. I started to freak out. So I reached over to the lamp to my left, and it wouldn't turn on. And by this point, the TV had gone off. So I was starting to lose mobility in my body. So I wasn't able to ambulate very well. So I'm struggling to get off the bed and reach for the lamp on the dresser where the TV is. I reach for that lamp and try and turn it. It doesn't turn on. So I glance to my right, and there's the door that goes out into the hallway of the hotel, and I can see the light strip from under the door. So for some reason, there was no power in my room, but there was power in the hallway. Now, meanwhile, as the seconds are ticking by, I'm starting to not be able to move very well. So I make one leap of faith. I take a couple strides into this dark area before the door handle, because it was kind of situated like a little short hallway. And as I lunge for the hallway, I'm starting to fall because I'm completely paralyzed. And about halfway falling down, I come face to face with your typical gray alien head, big light-colored skin. It was dark, but I could make it out because literally my face was right in front of it. And then that was it. I don't remember anything else.
So you remember up to that point, and then you kind of blacked out everything else afterwards.
Yep, as soon as I saw the face, I would have had to mow into it. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm 240 pounds. I'm over 6 feet tall. I probably crushed the poor thing. It was in the process of falling, and the last thing I remember was seeing that face. So the aftermath of that was, because I was traveling a lot, I started to get afraid in hotels. And any time I had a hotel with a similar layout, it literally caused me that panic attacks. There were times that I went back to the front desk and I had them change my room because it was just freaking me out too bad to be in a room that looked similar to that room when that happened.
Yeah, it's almost like it recorded itself into your senses. You know what I mean? Deep down.
Yeah,
it's a scary thing.
It's scary and it freaks me out. And you know, I don't scare easily, but I tell you that sort of thing scares me more than anything else.
Well, it sounds like you don't really have control, and that's I would think that would be terrifying. You don't have any control of something's happened to you like that, you know.
Yeah, and that probably is the scariest thing, is not having control. I mean, complete uncontrol. It was weird because nothing had happened for many years before that. So, I mean, it wasn't even on my mind of anything like that being possible. It was something that happened completely out of nowhere. And it definitely left a lasting impression.
Yeah,
took me a long time to get over that. Yeah, it took me a long time to get over that. And not fun. But that wasn't the only time that something similar had happened like that. But that was the most scared I've been.
I can't even imagine. I mean, once would have been enough for me. Seriously.
Yeah, I know it. It's really, really horrific. And I guess, I still got some time here, but I can talk about more things that have happened. There was, and I kind of hesitate talking about it because I've talked about it before on the show, so I hate to have listeners kind of hear the same thing over and over again, but some of the other things that have happened was another scary time was similar, except it was many, many years earlier. I was staying at a friend's house, and it was the middle of the night. I was lying on the couch, and I glanced over to my right, and as I looked to my right, I could see there was an opening, so I could see into the kitchen, the hallway where you walk into the kitchen, and at the edge of the kitchen, there was a window. So as I turned my head to the right to look down there, I saw a beam walk, past the window on the outside of the house. And before that I could even register into my brain, I turned my head back up, and this is a matter of 2 seconds or something. I turn my head back up. That being's face is like a foot in front of mine or a couple feet in front of me. And the next thing I know is they stuck what I can only describe to be a needle into my left eye where that tear duct is. I don't know if that's called that, you know, on the inside of the eye towards the nose.
Right.
Probably tear duct. And that's all I remember from that. And that was the first time that I had ever seen, you know, anything like that. And then I had also, there were also sightings going on out there as well. And
so they correlate to other things going on with other people then, your experience.
What's that?
So your experience kind of correlates to other people seeing UFOs or activity around the same area? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've had several sightings out there. That was kind of where everything started in the early 90s. There was some physical evidence left behind as well in that case. When I got up the next morning, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I don't think I've talked about this on the show. I don't know why. I keep forgetting it. The next day, I walked outside, and you know, this is a rural area, so it's kind of rural anyway. And there's a big backyard with really tall grass. And what I noticed was there was a path in this grass that went from the house to a fence, you know, a thin wire fence that was bent over as if something, you know, crawled over it and bent it down. But what was weird about it was the grass in the path was pink. It was changed color to pink.
Wow.
All the grass everywhere else was, you know, not green grass. It was, you know, the beige, whatever, dry grass. It was in the middle. The path had turned pink. What does that mean? I don't even know. What does that mean?
I don't even know. Something odd.
Was I irradiated?
I don't know. Is there something to look up? And I'm going to be curious. I'll probably go look it up.
I can honestly say I have never looked that up. And now you got me thinking about it because I never... It's just one of those little things that I've just kind of forgotten about.
Well, you know, when
really
there's evidence in nature, it's something to really pay attention to. You know, Indians do that. They look at everything.
Yeah, I definitely need to
check
that out. I wonder if there's some kind of energy or, like I said, radiation that could discolor. But it would have been discoloring, like, because the grass was mostly dead, so it's kind of weird. But it was tall grass.
So it was dead
and
turned pink.
Like, yeah, this was so many years ago, I can't remember, but I recall it being more dead than green. So maybe it was green, and I'm just getting my memory mixed up. I mean, this was like 20 years ago. But it was not, like, I'm not talking like lawn grass. I'm talking, you know, waist high or higher grass, really tall grass.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was weird. There was a lot of strange things that happened out there. There was another time I was out there, and, see, I'd gone to a boarding school. It was in Northern California, right next to where that had happened. And it wasn't during the school year. I was just visiting, and it ended up just being me and my friend at this boarding school. The boarding school is interesting because it's actually a summer camp, so it has a pond and canoes, stuff like that.
Right.
And so, you know, the students lived in cabins, and so we were in this big dining hall that had this huge kitchen attached to it. And it was late at night, and I'd walked outside, and my friend, you know, was staying in this dining hall, and I started to see these lights moving in the sky, and they were, like, you know, starting to hover behind the trees.
Right.
So I freaked out, and so I go back, and my buddy is asleep, and I can't wake him up. And I'm, like, trying to get him up, and, you know, these lights have gone behind the trees, and I'm freaking out, and he was completely shut off. I couldn't get him up. And so that really made me worry a lot. So what I did next is I left him, walked outside down this super long path to one of the cabins and hid in the cabin. But that doesn't make any sense why I would do that. It was almost like something that, like, coaxed me out, because if that was going on outside and I couldn't wake them up, why would I go outside alone in the dark to a cabin, you know, a block away? It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, especially
I would
have
stayed with the one person that was there, not put myself, you know, out in the open.
Right. Kind of one of those weird experiences there.
That was one. Yeah, there was a lot. And that was the same place where all that Indian stuff was going on, where, you know, I was being drawn to these areas. Just weird stuff happening out there. But, you know, there's just really, really countless of experiences. I mean, I came home one time, and this wasn't in Northern California. This was in Oregon. We lived in a rural area on a one-line airport that didn't have a tower or electronics, and I came home. My roommate and her daughter were freaking out because a UFO basically parked right next to the trailer.
Wow.
And they weren't sure what they were looking at, so I told them about all my UFO stuff. And they jokingly were looking at this thing saying, "Jason's not here," jokingly, and it shot off. And then it came back again a short time later, and they said, "Jason's not here," again, and it shot off again. And in the meantime, they had, you know, trying to get a camera to get a picture of it. And, you know, it's just really, really weird things.
Those things that make you really question reality as you know it, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a skeptic with a lot of things, but, you know.
Yeah, me too. I've seen ghosts, but I can't help it. I still question, I don't know. You know, I don't put total doubt in somebody because I don't think they ever just lie, most of the time anyway. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, unless you live there, you don't really know.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people will listen to my stories and say that I'm full of crap and that I'm making it up. But, you know, if you listen to past shows, you'll notice my stories are always exactly the same. I'm not making this up.
That's
what it is.
Yeah.
And there were times when I wasn't alone.
There's a lot more possibilities out there for things, you know. I've seen enough to know. And I think there's a lot of people out there like that.
Yeah, you got to keep an open mind, and you know, this weird stuff going on. Yeah, a lot of the UFO stuff is probably like super secret government projects and stuff. You know, probably they are. You know, our government probably has technology that I wouldn't surprise me if they actually have, you know, their own built UFOs. And so
right.
We could be misidentifying a lot of stuff. You know, and the U2 spy plane
That's
came out
point.
In the 40s. What's that?
That's a good point. We could be misidentifying things as our own and thinking it's alien.
Yeah, it's when the U2 spy plane came out, the 50s, it was, the 40s, I think it was the 50s, and the SR-71 Blackbird, which was originally called the Oxcart, which is the world's fastest plane. They, you know, were flying around doing test flights, and people had never seen aircraft like that before, and so they were reporting UFOs. So it's not unreasonable to believe that even today, you know, the technology is so far advanced and we're seeing things that are actually manned by people. But that being said, I still think there are UFOs.
Well, you know, with all the planets out there, there's got to be alien life out there somewhere. No, the chances are very high.
I think a UFO is coming by my house right now. There it is. Oh, great. That's my attempt at UFO humor. It's interesting as well. We just need to keep an open mind. And, like, I've captured what I believe to be entities on video before during paranormal investigations, but I never call it a ghost. I always call it a, you know, unknown manifestation.
Yeah.
I never call anything a ghost because I don't know.
How would you know the difference between spirits or interdimensional being an alien? You know, how would you – maybe there is no difference. We don't know. You know, how would you
– And that's a good subject right there, interdimensional beings.
Yeah.
Maybe those are the aliens.
Well, I've seen that, and then I've seen people believe that they're, you know, from other worlds. And,
yeah.
You know.
It's a big world, strange world we live in. So we do have another caller, and I know exactly who this is, and we only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to bring him on if you want to stick around, Darlene.
Sure.
I'll chat for a few more minutes. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, mystery caller.
Hey, I am a mystery caller. You better believe that. How's everything going tonight, guys? I tuned in a little late. I had to get my beauty sleep in.
No, it's kind of a flop.
I crashed the show.
Pat Rice had something. Well, she had to, couldn't make it, so.
Yeah, and I know what happened with Pat Rice, and we're all sad and wish her the best, and prayers sent to her and her family, and you know, on this day, and you know, it happens all the time. But that's where your guests come in. You know, your people in chat, like Darlene, and from what Rick, I've got comments in my inbox saying that they enjoy the show, and you're well able to handle any alleged disaster. So, you know.
Well, this is Darlene talking to us. She saved me because something came up, and my guests couldn't be here tonight. So, Darlene is. We're just chatting about UFOs and stuff.
Good. Yeah, that's cool. That's good. It's always hard when your guests don't show up. I know I've had that happen to me a couple of times, many times. It's
that's
just
happened
part
to
of,
both
you
of
know.
Us.
Yeah, the laws of nature, you know, but you handle it a lot better than I do. I get aggressively like, why weren't you there? You know, that sort of thing. But you're too low, mellow, and, you know, you're a mellow fellow, so I knew you'd handle it.
He is mellow.
Fine. He is. He's like the most mellow man in the paranormal business. However, don't make Jason, but don't piss the guy off. I won't mess with Jason.
Yeah, I'm mellow most of the time, but I can turn into like a Jeffrey Dahmer.
Hey, I'm glad I'm on with you, and we can just discuss this live over the air for a quick couple of minutes here. I don't know how much time you have remaining, but I've got a case up at Fort Stevens, Washington. And I'd like you to come up and investigate with the Oregon Ghost Society up there. It's a case that's different. You know, they complain about hearing a baby's voice in an old military fort house that they're renting there. And they don't know, we can't get a whole lot of history there, what's going on. But I can tell you, they don't own a baby. And I had a high school friend that is her friend that stayed up there, and she will not go back to that house again. She's completely weirded out. You know, they'll hear little footprints going down the hall, and they'll hear a baby's crying, but it's not, you know, you hear a baby crying, your hair don't stand up on the back of your head, right? I mean, it's a natural thing, but when they hear this, it freaks them out. And so I'm just wondering, maybe it's not a baby crying. Maybe it's not what it wants you to think it is, for whatever reason. And so we're going to be going up there, and it's quite a ways up there, you know?
Wait, I'm sorry, what base was that? Fort Lewis,
sorry, I said Fort Stevens. It's Fort Lewis
Fort
up in Washington?
Yeah, it's actually on the, is it on the base?
Yes, it sure is. And so I hadn't had a chance to really mention it to you yet. We've all been busy, you're going to school, and I sleep a hell of a lot, so, I just thought it'd be fun to mention this to you and give you the invite, and I know you've got some equipment, and they've got quite a bit, and it'd be maybe a real good, solid investigation to do. And then I wanted to mention about doing a live show, and maybe put it out there for your listeners tonight to see what they would think about it, doing, you know, the legend of Cathedral Park. Do you remember that legend out there about the woman crying that was brutally murdered on the bank shores, and now at 3 a.m. sometimes, quite oftenly, you know, people will hear her crying on the bank of the shore. She was kept there captive, and repeatedly raped for 11 hours until they found her dead body the next day, the next morning. And
we talked about that before. That's definitely one I can do.
And if we it's true what they say. When something happens in death like that, that's tragic, and the spirit stays around. And maybe it's quite possible with the right medium that we could help the spirit travel onward, and we may be able to release the legend. That would be my purpose for going there, really.
I'll be going as a skeptic, as always. I'm the resident skeptic.
Well, I know you're a skeptic, but let's talk about a case real quick. Remember the case, Jason, the Jervis house where you caught that entity? Are you still skeptic about that, that video that you captured? And it's like the only real evidence that we captured that's completely unexplainable. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and that was the video I was referring to a few minutes ago, where I'll never call anything a ghost, but I'll call it a manifestation. Yeah, that was that. Well, it's the closest thing I would ever assume to be a ghost. I mean, it was weird. It came out of the floor and hovered past the camera, and there was no explanation.
No, and the camera shut down, what was it, like exactly a minute before that? Except for the ones in the basement, those remained. The one remained,
That's weird. I didn't think we'd get anything out of that house. I really wasn't getting much of a vibe of anything, but we did capture that in the basement.
Yeah, it was weird. And then all the testimonials we had from the family, and remember Wayne. We thought he was a little out there, maybe a little bit, but then at the same time we thought, okay, there's maybe something going on here, and we kept going out there. And remember the gratuitous payment we did catch, though, that we came home that day, and they paid us. What did they pay us at? And it's really comical, really. I still laugh about it, because in the paranormal it said that you don't, accept payment for your, your cases and all that.
I know what you're talking about. I thought you were referring to money, and I'm like, what?
No, we got paid.
They gave us a bunch of corn.
They did, yeah. They had those rolling cornfields there, and they're like, yeah, just pull your cars up there and load up. And we didn't think twice about that. I was eating corn for 3 months, and I didn't mind that. Fresh corn every day. I was happy, man. That was like a great payment to us. I mean, fresh corn, we don't get that here. You go to the store and it's been there for weeks or days or whatever, and this was just right off the stalks and ripe and perfect, man. It was good stuff. Yeah,
you can't beat that.
No, I couldn't beat that, at all. Also, I got so many things to share with you guys. I want to ask you also if you'll be interested. I started an online newspaper and magazine. We are currently searching for a proper name and stuff. It's going to be on Poser. It's a web-based website where you can actually do your magazine and so forth. And they have all the software. You just write the articles and do your graphics, and then it turns it into a virtual online magazine. Pretty cool stuff.
Wow.
So we're going to be looking also for writers for that too, and that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks here as I get I got the website up now, and I'm just kind of playing around with the graphics and learning how to do it and so forth. But that'll be a real fun project where we can put all our projects in there. We can promote our events and the newspaper, all that stuff, paranormal articles that you hear about or stories, all that stuff can be published there. So that would be a really fun project, yeah.
Evan, that I'm currently taking Writing 121, which is English composition, and all I do for these damn writing classes are essays.
Wow, that's perfect. So we can just give you some paranormal stories, and there comes your essay.
It would be good practice, because I'm telling you, I'm learning how to write these articles. I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing right now in school, basically articles.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool, because everybody knows I'm no writer. I'll be lucky if I can spell my name twice write twice the same way. So, that's good. That's good. That's excellent. Yeah, it's good practice. I know school's keeping you busy, but...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I hate school.
Yeah, but, you know, education is a thing that you have to have. You have to have it nowadays, you know? And then when you got hurt, you know, you got hurt busting that shoplifter, didn't you?
Yeah, I was chasing... Well, I wasn't technically chasing the shoplifter. I was trying to catch up to the shoplifter. I collided with a door and...
Mm.
Of having to have surgery, and it was
wow.
pretty ugly. But so I have not worked since 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad I was hurt. So I'm basically getting free school. So
that's awesome. Something you have to take advantage of. That's something you have to take advantage of. It's too bad the door won though. You should have kicked its butt.
Yeah, man, I hit that door so hard. You know those doors. You know, if you go to a big grocery store or whatever. The sliding glass doors, they're designed to break away so you can hit one. Well, this one didn't break away, so when I hit it, it closed on me, is basically what happened, and I miscalculated, and it hit my arm, and I basically broke my leg and had to get plates and screws and stuff.
Ugh. Well, what happened to the guy you were trying to apprehend? Did he ever get caught, or did he finally, you know, make it out?
Well, I fell behind him, and in mid-fall, I heard the snap. And he turned around, and he asked me if I was okay, and I wasn't sure what to say, and then he must have clicked inside his head, because he must have realized who I was, and then he ran off, and I'm doing this half-hearted stop, you know, I didn't care, I was like, I knew I broke something.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ooh.
It's a loud, it's really obnoxious, it's a really loud, muffled snap.
Oh, wow.
It's not
wow.
paranormal. Not a paranormal
snap. I'm getting a vivid picture of that. I'm like, ah, that would really, you know, that's bad, really bad. Especially when you hurt yourself like that, you know. And what store was it in? Or
I don't even know if I should say, but I'll just say a major, major, major retailer that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
All right.
I'm not
hard, you know, to understand.
The reason
that,
I don't want to say is I'm not a big fan, because when I eventually did go back to work, they went out of their way to get rid of me. So.
Yeah. They do that. You know, that's part of the right to work in Oregon. They have the right to fire whatever for whatever reason they want. It's an employer state here in the state of Oregon, and. I might even do a gripe show about that, because I've got a friend that just got hurt and been with the company 24, almost 25 years, and they tossed him. He broke his kneecap and had to have a couple of surgeries, and they put like a, you know, yeah, whatever they did to him, and he went back to work, hadn't been there, you know, 3 weeks, and they tossed them. They just said, you're fired. They wouldn't give a reason why, any of that stuff. Just really treated the guy bad. And here he was, a major, major employee that they had, full-time employee. He was like a front, you know, store-end front manager for all those years, for at least 15 of those years. And it's because they can get by with it in this state, you know, and... It's sad because the laws need to change where the employees are protected more. Like workers' comp, it only pays a small portion of your actual salary, and you can't even survive when you're on workers' comp. Here you are hurt, you get hurt working for the people, and then you don't get enough pay to even survive each week while you're hurt. And I don't think that's right. Why can't you get your regular pay at what you were working at while you got hurt? I don't understand why they have to cut it dramatically, but like 75%, that's just crazy.
It is crazy.
It is less, but it's also tax-free, so that makes up some of it. But you're right, it is up in our states. You know, the employers are at-will employers, so they can pretty much get rid of you for any reason. But they can't, you know, what they did to me was wrong, and they could get busted for it. I just didn't have the money to actually sue them for it. But it's ridiculous. You know, the injury that I had
at the bottom line. And, you know, if it had happened, you know, while I was shopping at like a Fred Meyer or something like that, people were getting $600,000 to $700,000. You get hurt on the job, okay, you're going to get some free education. You'll get your medical bills paid. And you'll get some time lost. But, you know, it's really that you're right. The employee gets the short end of the stick with comp.
Yeah, you're right, you know, and I just, man, they just need to do something with the laws, and the people need to get together and reorganize somehow. I know there's a lot of states that are not so much, you know, employee-generated, and that, those are the kind of states that we should follow suit, you know, and kind of do adapt some of their laws and so forth, but I don't know if that'll ever happen in the state of Oregon. Like they say, keep Oregon weird, it does fit the state, you got to admit that.
Yeah. Well, we're actually over time here, so.
Hey.
I didn't want you
all to think I had forgotten about you. I just had a really, you know, I get these really bad migraines, man, and so I took some medicine and then was watching TV, and 5 minutes later I was out. Woke up late, but I'll tune into the rest of the show. So, and then who do you have coming on the next show, Jason?
I think Pat and I are just going to do another chat thing. We're kind of doing every other week with a guest, so technically we would have had a guest. I don't know. We might have a guest, might not, but I haven't worked on the schedule, actually. That's on my list of things to do, is to set up the rest of the month and the beginning of next month. So.
Okay, well, let me know when you... I've got some guests that are wanting to come on the shows, and I've booked two of them today for tomorrow. We're doing a show tomorrow, and I'll help you out with some scheduling guests and so forth, and I've got your link, so I'm gonna I need your embed code, you know, so it will get played onto the Beyond the Edge of Reality website as well. So get me those codes if you can, and I'll have Brian Mays embedded into our website, so it'll, your listening link will automatically go live there, as well as be in the archives there. Other than that, thanks for having me on today. And Darlene, thanks for helping Jason out. You're a great asset to all the shows and our websites and blogs, and I sure appreciate it, and I'm sure Jason did today too.
Yeah, she rescued me. I don't know what I would have talked about.
I like the show.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well,
everybody
take care. And hopefully you'll come listen to us tomorrow night. We have Joe Andre on Unexplained Phenomena. And hopefully, Jason, you'll be able to tune in. We miss having you in chat and on our shows, too. So get that schooling done, man. And when you get rich, you know, you can kick me some money here. So, yeah, because you'll be rich. You know, you just want to be nice, right? So, no. Yeah,
I'm never going to be rich.
Great job. And I am out. Take care, everybody.
All right, thanks, Evan, and thanks again, Darlene, for helping me out with the show. And
no problem at all.
This is good fun, and yep, we don't know who we're going to have next week, but I'll try and get somebody.
Well, hopefully Pat will be back next week, so.
I hope so. she's definitely going through a hard time right now, and wish her the best.
Okay.
And going to give her as much time as she needs to do what she needs to do. And if not, I will just continue on with what I'm doing, and hopefully I can have kind folks such as yourself come on and
you do
help
well
me
winging
out.
It, so no problem. You have a good night.
Well, thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye. All right, folks, that's the show for the evening. As always, want to make sure that send out the message to check us out on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and also my paranormal page, NW Paranormal, on Facebook as well. That's a group, not a page. It's just NW Paranormal. And thank you all for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.